you, Vince, for choosing those songs for congregation singing out, because there is a lot of things that we could be just ground to smithereens and has plans for us. And so my question for you, are you ready? You say, well, you're ready for what? Well, there's for anything, for everything. Are you ready for success? Some people say, oh, boy, that's a good idea, but I don't think I'm ready. I'm trying, working. What about for life? Sometimes people feel like, man, I don't even know where to go. I was talking to a young man yesterday. His car was in bad shape and is in our parking lot. And so I just, you know, how's it going, partner? And, oh, boy. And everything is tires and battery and girlfriend and job and money. And he just had problems on every hand. But I liked him. And there was a problem he took care of. And it just, wow, I appreciate. So there's individuals that are having challenges in life. And maybe you can help them. How about for blessings? Are you ready to be blessed? Sometimes feel like, yeah, but God, I don't deserve it. One person said, none of us deserve it. That's why it's called grace. We're given things that we don't deserve. But being ready for battle, being ready for healing, being ready for reversals, they'll face some there. The path is to curve north and northeast. And so one news source, but catastrophic of the household of God. Are you ready for friendships? You build stronger and deeper ones. Are you ready for personal growth? And for this morning, are you ready for the judgment? You might say, well, I'm ready for the other things. I don't know if I'm ready for this last point. And what we'd like to do is ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 25. In prior 2 weeks, we looked at Matthew chapter 24 that deals with the destruction of Jerusalem. That's where Jesus was coming to oversee that judgment on Jerusalem. And there's a theoretical principle called a wormhole that nobody's ever seen one. It's just anticipated that it's so. That say, well, how does that work? Of course, with Star Wars and this and that, you always have these galactic anomalies. Well, the principle is this. If this is our lifetime to be able to do that, but what if space and time warp and it goes like this? Well, the dots are still on their respective sides. Carries that sense of moving from one place to another. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1, then, that is after all the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and all that, now he's going to be talking about what is the kingdom of God like? Then the kingdom of heaven will be like, and he's going to give a parable. In fact, in this chapter, this is the first of two. And I just thought as a point of interest, the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, is found 32 times in the Bible. It's found only in the New Testament and only in the book of Matthew. Other places called the kingdom of heaven. It's right around the corner. And that's what John the Baptist was prophesying. This kingdom that was being considered is right around the corner from John's time. And yet there were conditions to it. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, he said, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and Pharisees, if you want it, yeah, it looked good on paper. But it was all superficial. Look how I dress. See, I got fancy cufflinks. That's all superficial stuff. And had nothing to do with the heart of man. Keys to the kingdom of heaven. Your preaching, particularly in Acts 2 and following that, is going to tell people what they do, their part to enter the kingdom. And it said, Peter, you are going to start it. And also in regard to that phrase, the kingdom of heaven, it talks about how the hypocrites, the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, shut it off. They do by their threats. They do by their intimidation. They do by, oh, don't listen to those guys. They're all crazy. They're a bunch of fanatics. Really, you just listen to us. From the destruction of Jerusalem to the character and consequences for believers. So my question is, are you ready? He says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. This first parable is going to have that idea of preparedness. Are you prepared? Well, let me just ask for different things. Are you prepared for, in our area, hurricanes aren't as frequent as they are down in the Gulf Coast. But are you prepared for massive earthquakes? Are you prepared for volcanic eruptions? I mean, Cascades is a string of mountains with volcanic background. Whatever you happen to be, everything, even the stuff I don't like, oh man, we'd probably go 30 days. Paul, are you ready for 3 years? No. What if there's nuclear attack? What if, I mean, there's all kinds of things, you know, that you can think about. Most importantly, are our souls ready? And so he starts off with this idea. There were 10 virgins. That is, here's young women, the bridesmaids. Here's her friends. In this case, there were 10 of them. And they took their lamps. And we went over to Israel. And these are really, really common. They're little palm-held things that it has a little oil reservoir. The center is hollowed out. You can actually do it in an open dish and lay a wick in it. And I wondered why the olive oil just doesn't catch fire all at once and catch your table on fire than the wick. And so the wick will burn and the reservoir doesn't. And they'd carry it around like we do a fleshlight. And prudent took oil in their flasks. Well, the thing is little, and if you got hours, it's just like your computer or anything else. It has a battery life. It'll work this long, and then, you know, it goes out. And so they would carry extra oil along. The others, five of them, did not do that. And the call went out. The bridegroom comes. And so in their marital ceremony at one part, the bridegroom comes from his house over to the bride's house. And there's feasting and this and that. And then he takes it back to the groom's house and the maidens escort them. And so here's the big deal. You're going to be escorting your friend over to the home of her bridegroom. And this interested me. And all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. We don't generally light our homes by oil kerosene lamps anymore. And what happens is we have kerosene lamps. We just don't use them. They're decorative. And I had them in the home that I grew up in. You didn't use them there. They were just pretty. And so as you do that, as the technology of your lamp, that the oil, as it's drawn up, doesn't much burn. It's mostly the oil on the surface and in the interior of the wick, unless the oil gets low and then the wick starts burning. And so that happens, then you get a smoky, I'll say dingy light. And so it said they trimmed. And I wondered, well, how did people in 30 AD trim? No, they had it 1500 BC. Some say as early as 3000 BC. It was just bronze, and they like shear sheep that way. But they just, prudent answer said, no, they'll not be enough for us and for you. Go to the dealers and buy some for yourself. I mean, this is the brick. It's like if, you know, that whatever is Pachelbel cannon, and here comes the bride, and she's about, I'll say, in our situation, about to come walking down the aisle, say, wait a minute, I need something. Man, if you need it, you better get a rabbit out of a hat, because when that starts, there's no time for all, hey, I needed this and that. And if we cannot cover your base for you, verse 10, while they were going away to make the purchase of the foolish ones, they wanted to participate. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And felt insulted. This is the big day, and you didn't prepare? They weren't part of the bridal company. They weren't part of the bridal procession, and they weren't going to be part of the wedding feast. They were shut out. Think about this. Jesus' application then is to us. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. And he just leaves it there. And think about that. And it's true, just in general, be on the freeway in 30 minutes from now or an hour from now. Anytime you're on the freeway, you are 5 seconds away from eternity. That's chilling. Whoa. Is there some things I need to correct? Is there some things I need to adjust in my life? Maybe this morning is the time to do that. And beyond that, when will the Lord return? At other times, I've listed dozens, hundred dates that people have set from the early centuries. Well, the Lord's return will be here, here, here. That's one thing he never revealed. He just said, get ready. Well, we know how it is. If kids, you ever do this? If the due date for your paper is December 11th, when will you get started on it? If it was Glenda, she'd start on it in July. If it's me, I say, let's see, it's December 10th now. Maybe we need to get started on this thing. And so some of us just kind of put things off. But am I ready? Can we sing on joyful pilgrims? And for us, the journey will not be long. Then you come down to Matthew 25 and in verse 14, where he said, and here's the second parable. He said, for it's just like when a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves, doulos, and entrusted his possessions to them. Well, here's a parable about usefulness. Maybe there's a couple of points that'll be helpful for you as we go along here. 25:15, and to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and each according to his own ability. Now, we use talents in the context of the things we are gifted with. Talents then really was a measure of weight, and in this case, in regard to money. One got 5 talents, one got 2 talents, and one got 1. Well, first of all, he doesn't tell whether it's talents of gold or silver. And secondly, this graphic is interesting, but that's the graphic that was available. And so if you take a talent of silver, it's still 100 pounds, but not worth as much. And so when I'm attributing dollar amounts, if you had 100 pounds of gold, you know, whatever that is, $1.5 million or something, well, that's beyond our way of generally calculating. And so I thought, let's just take small numbers. And let's say one got $2,000, one got $4,000, and one got $10,000. Contingency. They were given to the particular servant. Probably not a good time to do that. And so, Paul, do you know how to handle $100? I can handle $100. I'm pretty confident with that. How about $100 billion? Man, I can't even imagine that. And so different people have different capacities. And each man was given an amount that he should have been able to handle. He had the ability to do it. And so, what about your abilities? Are you investing in the Lord's work? Because here's where the parable goes. He said, after the man of the house comes back, he interviews the servants, and the one that got the one, the lowest amount, he says, I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. And so, well, you got it back. You know, you didn't lose anything. Well, certainly in our economy, if you hid it in the ground for 5 years, you've already lost because inflation has increased, doubled the money handed to him, and he was praised. Well done, good, faithful servant. The 2-talent man in Matthew 25:17 and verse 22 and 3, doubled his money, and he was praised for it. It was simply, in 25 and 26, the 1-talent man did absolutely nothing. Nothing. Put it in the ground. Good. Took you half a minute to dig a hole, throw it in there, kick dirt over it, and you're done. And Jesus cites this man as being wicked and lazy. Well, what was the option if I don't know a whole lot about the investment culture? Well, you could put it in a bank. You got something back. There are times where here in the last 40 years, and sometimes you could get 13%. Now you get about a third of 1% or 20, a quarter of 1%. But it's something. You could have gotten something, and he didn't do that. And there's a principle that is true in life, that if you don't use it, whatever it is, you lose it. It's true with cars. I bought a car one time, was an Audi that had been sitting for a year or 5 years. I will never do that again. Unless you want to rebuild the whole thing. Everything was corroded. None of the solenoids worked. None of them were used. They need to be used continually. If it's biblically, well, I taught class back in 1954, and let me take away the talent from him that has one and give it to him that has 10. For even when a man that does not have, that is, have much, what he does have, that little bit that he does have, will be taken away. And so here was his condition. In verse 30, his destiny, interesting sentence, cast him out into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is, you were within a family and they had opportunities that were lost, abilities that were wasted. He's going to have isolation. He's going to have anguish and loss. See, this guy's situation, at least in the parable, is even worse than the maidens. The maidens missed a wedding feast for unpreparedness. He lost the whole relationship in regard to usefulness. So when we think about that, what about us? Are we using the gifts that God has given to us? There's reasons why people don't, and I understand that. Some people are just afraid to do what God wants them to do. Years ago, I don't know how long ago, it was Jim Hester said, the very thing we're afraid to face. Yeah, I would, but I'm too busy. Well, I'd like you to think about that. From the happen, because it's easier to stay busy sometimes doing something because of an illness or a move or something. But how do you explain setting them aside for 15 years? He said, you know, I need to get them out of the closet, polish them up, and get back to work in serving God. It might be as you go discouraged. You may have failed. You may have been criticized. Maybe it's time to get off the treadmill and get back on target. Just a couple other things. Maybe you keep buying into your own excuses. Oh yeah, but Paul, but see, my situation is I'm too old. No, I'm too young. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know where to start. I'm not smart enough. You know, there's all these things that I can't. What did Paul say? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We just tell ourselves all this negativity and we buy into it and we stay stuck. And then lastly, maybe you truly don't know what your gifts are. Well, what do you do easily? And you think everybody does. Or digging deep in research or problem solving, counseling, public speaking, building and construction, carpentry, renovation. God's given you gifts. Well, God says, you're blessed. Now, let's get to work and use them. Don't let fear rob you from doing what you were created to do. And then finally, in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, is the picture of the final judgment. Matthew 25, 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, and he'll sit on his glorious throne. And so here is a picture of the final judgment. And here it's not just Jerusalem, the sheep from the goats. And you're familiar with this, but I thought it was interesting. There are five conditions that he gives, and none of them are doctrinal. Each one is practical. And he shows it both in the positive and negative way. He'll say to the righteous that I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. And they say, Lord, when did we do that to you? And he says, inasmuch as you did it unto these, the least of my brethren. Now, what we tend to do is, well, here's my friend. Here's this Christian. They're doing so much that, oh, yeah, let's bless them. Well, here's this little peanut over here that is just, you know, problems all over the place, you know, and dark cloud follows them or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah, well, that's just, you know, bubba. And what Jesus says about that, it moves us. Certainly, we want to be correct doctrinally. But if we get all the facts right and you get the love wrong, you're ready to face eternity. Because we're going to be on the road in a few minutes, and we're 5 seconds away from eternity. If there's an area we can help you, you say, you know, I'd like to be baptized into Christ. Confess my Lord. I want to repent of my sins. Do that, like prayers from the congregation. However we can help you, we would be honored to help. Let's be standing. We're going to be singing number 788, Words of Life. Vince?